Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show last few shows has been talking about estate planning and taxes. And Paul, you want to kind of give us a biblical view of taxes and stewardship, and Christians should be good citizens and pay their taxes, but being good also by maybe avoiding taxes and giving it to God's work instead, if possible, legally.
There's a lot of round robins in there, isn't there? And, when I was getting my master's in tax, I don't talk about my education all that much, but I do have a master's in tax, and there are specific cases and there are specific things that we need to study in order to be prepared in that area. And one of them was that there's been many cases that have flown through the IRS concerning objectors. So individuals who object to paying taxes, and the number of reasons are enormous. And people have tried for 120, 130 years.
Kind of started the American Revolution. The Boston Tea Party
and no taxation without representation. There as well, right? And so, but then throughout the U.S. history, there have been many people who have tried to say, I should not be subjected to taxes. It's an unrightful taking for one reason or another. So therefore, I should be excused. And the arguments of why we should be excused are numerous, and I'm here to tell you, just as a opening statement, the IRS has always shot them down. There is no good excuse for not paying your taxes. And now, why do we pay taxes? So let's even start there. Well, we need to have a government, and we know that this government, this America, was born out of a vision given, what I believe to be by God, to our founding fathers. And if we look at the Constitution, it is a work of art. It is phenomenal that there were men that had such vision of what it meant to live under rules but yet live free. And we need a government, because a government provides us our safety net and the boundaries by which we are supposed to operate as a society. And unfortunately, that in order for a government to exist and provide that safety net for us to have the ability to worship, us to have the ability to earn money, to have a place that is safe, to live life according to purpose and calling that God has given us, we need to be able to support that work. And that's what taxes do. Taxes are simply a way to make sure that the freedoms that we so long for and desire, and I understand that there's many viewpoints that those freedoms are being tarnished and that they're being chipped away, and I would share many of those viewpoints, but that does not stop the necessity of the righteous aspect of our government and the righteous aspect of our boundaries to continue to march forward, and only money can do that. As a matter of fact, I've talked about that, God cannot just come down here and all of a sudden put money in your hands. And yet sometimes we think that God is going to provide mysteriously. No, He has designed exactly how He's going to provide for you. And it's called go do some good hard work. Thank you very much. So He has given us the power to get wealth, but by the works of our hands. And so therefore, I am a proponent that we need to utilize funds to promote the kingdom of God. That is what I'm always talking about. That is why money comes into our hands, and we need to be a good steward of it. But we need to have the safety net in order to promote the kingdom of God. And that starts with a secure operational government. Now, inside our governments, are there bad people? Yes. Is there wickedness? Yes.
Is there wastefulness?
Is there extraordinary wastefulness, actually? Yes. That does not stop the theory and the necessity of that government that is necessary for us to walk in our calling and to walk in the freedoms that we so value. And so so we could talk forever and a day, probably. We could sit around and drink coffee and talk about the woes of the government that is currently in effect. And goodness gracious. And then we live in Washington State. Thank you very much. So not only is the federal government a disaster, but then look at the Washington State theology and the Washington State direction of how government is moving and what they talk about. It's very difficult to support many of those things. But yet, we have to come back and recognize that our taxes are used because we want to live in a society with boundaries. We want to live in a society that we can have an opportunity to voice righteousness. And as a matter of fact, that is exactly what the government is designed for. Now, I want to turn to Romans 13 for a second. I think that this is a highly abused scripture from the pulpit, and it's unfortunate. It actually grieves me. But I'm going to give you one opinion, and my opinion you may not agree with, but that's okay. We can have a different opinion and continue to be friends. So in Romans 13, it starts out, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power resist the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For the rulers are not a terror of good works, but to evil. Will you then not be afraid of the power? Do what is good, and you shall have the praise of the same." All right. So Paul is clearly telling us that the power given within our governmental system, that power comes from God first, and that there's other scripture that says that our rulers are ordained of God, that they have placed themselves, that God has placed them there for the work, for his work and for his purposes. And I'm going to go back a little bit and talk about just COVID discussions. I know that we want to get all past this, but it's just an example of this moment in time, which is when restrictions were passed down, there's a group of Christians that said, that's not right. And then there's other group of Christians that said, no, we're supposed to obey everything that it comes down the pike. Well, I have an exception with the theology that we are supposed to carte blanche just obey every law given by man. What if a law is unrighteous? What if a law does not proclaim to be good? As a matter of fact, in verse 3 of Romans 13, it says, "For the rulers are not a terror to good works." In other words, they do not resist. They do not put up fronts. They do not put up roadblocks. They do not put up things that will stop good works. So here is a place where we would want to pause and take a deep breath and seek the Father and his goodness, because being full of the Holy Spirit, which if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit is your seal. He comes to reside within you. So therefore, you are able to come before the Father boldly, and that he will give you answers that you are seeking. You can communicate with your Heavenly Father. And he wants to communicate with you, and he wants to communicate the things that are deep, and he wants to give you direction and guidance for your life and understanding and wisdom of questions that you ask him. And this may be one of the questions over the past couple of years that we've been asking God, which is, Father, what is my place of actually needing to obey or push against some of the ordinances that have come down over the past couple of years? And here is one of the areas that I would suggest, which is, has the law or the ordinance, has it freed us up to do works of good, or has it restricted us from doing works of good? And here, Scripture clearly says, for the rulers are not terror to good works. They are not to set up things that stop good work. They are not to stop the things that promote righteousness. And so, is it righteous for us to get together and worship? I would say yes, it's a biblical mandate. Is it righteous for us to go out into the streets and the highways and the byways and help people and pray for the sick and be alongside of them in their time of need? Yes. And so when laws come up that stop the act of righteousness, then that is a law that we need to stop and think about and take to our Heavenly Father. And we need to individually hear the voice of God of how we're to respond to that. So what I would suggest to you, coming back to the discussion of taxes, is there a good work that comes from it? And what I am suggesting is that, yes, there is a good work that comes from us paying our taxes. And that is the foundation of us living in a free country. And I value that. And I think that most people who are listening to my voice value, highly value, that we have become one of the greatest, if not the greatest nation in the world and all of history because of the boundaries of righteousness that we can operate in. And that is a privilege. As a matter of fact, it's a privilege that not many other countries have. We could start listing other countries right now that do not have the same privilege as us. Are our brothers and sisters in China, do they have the same privilege of freedom that we have? No, they don't. And so are they to carte blanche just simply to obey every rule of law that comes down, even if it has unrighteousness attached to it? Are our brothers and sisters who are caught behind in North Korea, are they under the same freedoms that we have? The people in Russia, and God bless the people in Ukraine right now. We can talk about African nations and the corruption and the manslaughter that goes on in different nations of the world. And I think that we would stand up and with one voice say, we are grateful that we have the privilege of living in a place and many of us born into a place to where we did not have to experience those struggles. And that's what taxes are used for. And yes, can we nitpick and find places where taxes are unrighteously used? Unfortunately, yes. Because there's been unrighteous laws that have been passed down that then the government supports those unrighteous laws, and that is an ill use of money. But unfortunately, we can't decide where money goes. So there are, if you belong to a union, you may have the opportunity to tell your union that says, I am not going to pay a small fraction of my union dues because they're going to proliferate political purposes and uses. And you may have the opportunity to actually withhold some of your union dues so that they don't go towards political advancement of things that you don't agree with. We don't get that same privilege when we pay our taxes. We pay our taxes to a general fund that is then utilized by Congress. How do we object to paying our taxes? We vote people out of office and we get righteous people who align with our philosophies and our calls. We get them placed into office so that when they are sent to Congress, there's a voice of righteousness that is calling us how to use the budget and our taxes appropriately. That's our response in a free nation, is that we vote appropriately. And I know that that's tough sometimes, specifically living in Western Washington, where maybe we feel overran by a certain philosophy politically. But that is our response, and that's what we need to set our course to. So we don't get the privilege of nitpicking where money goes and where money does not. So if you do not support Planned Parenthood, we don't get the option of saying, by the way, U.S. government, I do not support this, so please don't support it. Don't use my tax money. Well, it goes into the big coffer. So the starting premise from a biblical standpoint, I believe, is that the government was set up by God himself. And it is clear that the government is intended to promote righteousness. And that righteousness, the boundaries we live in, need to have funds And that's what our taxes are used for. After break, I want to come back and I want to talk about some of the legal arguments, actually, that we have that people have tried to advance but have always been shot down by the IRS. And so it is very clear, even on a legal stand front, that every citizen is required to pay its taxes. And I believe even from a biblical standpoint, that is what our duty is. And so let's wrap up this whole discussion of taxes with a little more peek into God's Word when we come back.
Okay, if you're intrigued by Paul's approach and his belief in a biblical approach to taxes and estate planning, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, educational opportunities, and a way to communicate with us. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And biblical principles as a go toward taxes and the idea of taxes and how much as Christians our responsibilities are in this area. Paul is discussing that this week.
Yeah, and it's really not that I have to pay every tax as it comes across, because there are legal righteous ways to make sure that you're mitigating your taxes. That's what the whole past discussion on taxes was about, was how do we mitigate and not pay unnecessary taxes. So I'm not supporting that we pay everything just because we get it. We need to look at it and make sure that indeed it is owed by us and that we're paying what we are required to pay. As a matter of fact, even Jesus, looking at the Gospels, he was trying to be trapped by individuals, and they said, "Well, is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar?" Because there was an entire philosophy that said we should not be subjected to Caesar and his governmental rule, because we live only under the rule of God back in Jesus's day. And Jesus took out the coin and he goes, "Well, show me what's on the coin that you possess in your tunic." And they pull it out and they go, "Well, the picture of Caesar is here." And of course, we know Jesus's response. "Well, then pay to Caesar what is due to Caesar, and to God the things that are of God." And so here, even Jesus gave us clear direction, so I believe, that shows us, hey, look, we operate within the U.S. Currency. We operate under their laws, and we have the privilege of living under the security and banner of its protection. So therefore, we are to pay what is rightfully supposed to go to the U.S. government. And we are to rightfully then make sure that we set aside our tithe, that we are rightfully, as we are led by the Holy Spirit, to set aside offerings, because those are the things that are spiritual and set up our spiritual protection and our what we are to give unto the kingdom of God to advance his work, to advance the work of the church. I was looking at Malachi this week, which says that, you know, bring into the storehouse, bring into the church so that there may be food in my house. Why? Because that is the mechanism by which we are to push forward the gospel into society, is through the beauty of the church. And so we're to bring what is rightfully to God and under his lordship, his portion, the tithe, and we are to rightfully, according to Jesus, give to Caesar what is owed to Caesar, not more than, but what is rightfully owed to Caesar. So we even see, coming from Jesus, that there is a rightfulness to pay taxes, even though I'm sure if we had the chance to sit down and have espresso with Jesus, he would have said, man, I really did not like what Caesar was doing. I was not in favor of multiple aspects of his law, but he never said, well, just give to this section of it. Don't give to the whole of Caesar, or he didn't find just the good things. We have to take it as a whole, and then we have to be the voice of change in our governmental society. So I want to take a couple minutes, and there's been arguments that have gone before the Supreme Court, the highest court of this land, that individuals have objected to paying taxes, and the objections have been numerous. They've been everywhere. Sometimes they're called conspiracy theories, but let's assume that someone has an honest, true belief that they should not be paying taxes and that they should be exempt from it from a moral standpoint, from a religious standpoint, or just because that's what they truly believe. So I'm not going to take the position that any of these individuals were off their rocker for having these arguments. I'm going to believe that these were honest, true objections, and the court, the law of the land, which Paul says that we are to honor and obey when it's promoting righteousness, then says that all of these arguments are really not going to be upheld. And it actually, and these arguments started way back in the late 1800s. So these have been around for 130 to 140 years where this case law is well established. And so this is not something that has just been recent. And so there are exemptions, actually, for churches. There are exemptions for ministers. There are specific tax exemptions or tax breaks that a minister can take advantage of. So again, that goes back to the, well, don't ignore the exemption. Utilize it to your advantage if you are afforded it. But it is not a carte blanche blanket of no taxes paid to ministers. And so, number one, an institution cannot pay taxes. That's called a nonprofit if it goes through a 501c3 recognition by federal government that says you are promoting societal good. And so therefore, any money that comes to you, we are not going to take a portion of it because you're actually doing our job. We're supposed to, as a government, protect the citizens and provide for their safety net. But if you do it, churches, Salvation Army, and we can name a bunch of other very, very good institutions that come to the rescue or aid in public safety and in public support, then the government is going to look at that institution and say, because you are providing a public service, then we are not going to tax you. You get to keep everything because you're putting it back into society and you're actually helping us as a government run society. And we value that. So it can happen in institutions, in education. Why? Because we value education as a society. We want education to be given to the next generation to be wise and to afford new jobs and everything else that we're going to need to run as a healthy, prosperous nation. So educational opportunities can then be exempt from taxes. Many hospitals are exempt from taxes. So there's a myriad of ways that we can look at an institution, but it has to be an institution. It has to be a business. And because really that's what the church is. It is a business. It's just that it's in the business of spreading the gospel and helping people's moral compass. That is a good thing in society. So they're exempt from taxes. Now, the workers within that institution may be afforded different exemptions as well. But having a religious belief on its own in 1878, in Reynolds v. the U.S., the Supreme Court came back and said, having a moral belief or a religious belief in and of itself does not exempt you from paying taxes. Mm. The institution is exempt from taxes, but the person is not. And so, therefore, we see very quickly that just because we hold a religious belief does not mean that we get to be exempt or hold on to that like an institution would. In addition, there's been many other protesters. That's what they're called in a legal sense. They're or objectors. They're protesters or objectors to income taxes. That there's objections that says that a progressive tax, that's when the more money you make, the more taxes you pay. That's progressive because the instead of regressive, which is a gas tax, is a regressive tax because anyone who walks up to the pump, regardless of how much money they make, they could be on welfare or they can make millions of dollars. They pay the same tax. Mm-hmm. So if you're a progressive and you pay more taxes, that argument has been shot down that says in an equal the equality clause that says, nope. We're treating you equal because everybody pays taxes. So the bottom line is that taxes are used to make sure that we can live under the banner of freedom. We need to pay our taxes, but we need to pay what's rightful, not more than. And I believe it's biblical to support the government in that way. And it's biblical to make sure that we are going to righteously proclaim the gospel under the freedom that has been afforded us.
Okay, some of the heart of Paul Grant this week about taxes, and if you like his approach and want to find out more, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us. We'd love to talk to you. Legacyandfaith.com.
Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.